appreciate everyone coming tonight. You know, our family was disappointed that Christmas plans didn't quite work out. You know, just kind of a strange year, as Pastor mentioned. Want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. I know it can be a difficult time, but it's a wonderful time of hope as well. I enjoy singing Christmas carols. I kind of missed out on that. Joe passed out the papers. If you didn't get one, we'll make sure you get one. But I thought we could just start off by singing a Christmas carol. Joy to the World was the first one we had planned. We kind of had three planned. Weren't looking to do any, you know, instruments or anything, just sing a cappella. So if everybody could just join in, let's sing Joy to the World. And unfortunately, I'll start us off. I don't have the best voice, so you'll have to correct me as we go along. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and flocks, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love. Amen. Thank you so much for joining in with me on that. I want to read with you probably one of my favorite passages of scriptures, Luke 2, 1 through 20. It should be on the back of your sheets if you don't have your Bible with you. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. For this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it, wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. So I just wanted to begin tonight talking about communication. Generally, when we think of communication, when it's studied, there are three parts to communication. The message, the sender, and the receiver. I need two volunteers for a quick little demonstration. Just come on up. Bill, do you want to come up and help me out real quick? Yeah, come on up, Bill. Donna, do you want to come up? All right, fantastic. All right. So Donna's going to be our sender. Here's our message. Bill, I need you over here. You're going to be the receiver. All right. So get ready. She's going to send you the message. You going to be able to catch that? All right, let's see. All right, very good. All right. That worked out pretty well. Can you return the message? All right. So this is a real simple demonstration. Message, sender, receiver, there's parts. It can go back and forth. There's a lot of different things we can do that. All right, Donna, can you send me the message? All right. So what happens if somebody isn't paying attention to the message, right? Or somebody's not ready to receive it? All right. What if somebody isn't going to hear your message? Maybe they've built a wall up. All right, you guys can sit down. Thank you very much. Yeah. So there's a lot of things that we have to think about when we handle communication. One of the first times I saw this demonstration was at a scout event that I was at. There was a number of scouts and scouters around. The woman running the event was a very good friend of mine and a great communicator, very, very accomplished leader. And she was running this event. There was a whole circle of people, and they were passing a few tennis balls around. She's not very athletic. And there was a scout in the group. And anytime he would get that ball, he would take that and just wing it as hard as he could at her, this poor defenseless lady, and she would cringe. And so I'm sitting here, and we're all passing around. We're getting the idea, sender, receiver, message, it's all making sense. But it struck me, not the ball, but it struck me at the time that there was another piece that we were kind of missing in this whole, conversation and talking about it, and that was the delivery, how that message was being delivered. So we all had, a sender. We all had a receiver. But it was how it was delivered. And most people, nice underhand tosses. But this scout, he was happy to, just fling that thing. And so as we start to think about it, what if instead of a tennis ball, we had one of the eggs? So there's eggs in the back, too. Just how do you deliver that message? What if there's a bowling ball? What if it's a heavy message? There's delicate ones. There's heavy ones. So we have to pay attention to how we deliver that message. We know the truth, but how we spread that can be very tricky. So in the scripture that we just read, there is a lot of examples of messages. So the first one, a decree came out from Caesar Augustus that all should be taxed. In Jesus' time, there weren't tweets, cell phones, messages, newspapers. You probably don't know what that is, Elise, but, there weren't even books. And so messages were sent out through messengers, heralds. Someone would run from city to city. Whatever the decree was, it would go out. Sometimes there might be a scroll that could be read, maybe in the synagogue or something like that. But the messages had to go out by word of mouth. And it was very important to have a reliable messenger. There's actually a proverb that talks about, someone sends a fool as a messenger. He drinketh poison, essentially, and, cut off his feet. You're doing harm to yourself by sending an unreliable message because, you don't know what's going to happen at the other end. Best case scenario is it doesn't get, passed along. Worst case scenario, something, it starts a war or something because the wrong message gets sent. So we have to be careful how things are handled with that. This time of year, there's a lot of packages that get delivered. It got delayed for 4 or 5 days. I'm sure some people's Christmas gifts didn't show up until probably today, something along those lines. I'm glad my wife's not here. A delivery story of hers, every year she likes to dress up the kids and take them to get family pictures over the summer. And now with COVID, you can't pick those pictures up at the studio. You go in, get the pictures taken. You can't go back. They won't want you back in there. They're going to mail them to you. So they, you know, send this sturdy cardboard envelope stamped with "Do not bend," and every year we find it creased in the mailbox, just jammed in there, and it drives it 3 years straight. It's happened. They're all, and she, it just drives her crazy that, you know, it just didn't get delivered the way she thought it, well, the way it should have. As we go further in our scripture here, we have God delivering the beautiful message out of verse 10. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." So as we think about this scene, you know, the angels are probably half asleep, or the shepherds are out in the field, probably half asleep. You know, it's nighttime, the sheep are all down sleeping, and, you know, out of nowhere, an angel appears to them. The shock, the awe, you know, just, you know, never seen anything like that. I can only imagine what that would be like if we saw something like that today. So the angel appears. There's many examples in Scripture of angels appearing to people. It's always associated with shock, with fear. And the angel always starts off with "fear not," right? There's an important message that is being delivered. God is delivering a very important message when he sends an angel to do that. We don't see a lot of that today. You know, the angels aren't around delivering messages. Now, I'm not saying that can't happen. I'm not saying that somebody who says they saw an angel or something like that didn't happen. But, you know, if we were sitting here and an angel appeared and then a host of angels and, you know, the spectacular sight and just, you know, the shock and the awe that we would have from that. But we don't run across that in our everyday lives. We don't really see that too much. And, you know, there's an important message. So why don't we see the angel? Why aren't they appearing to us and giving us that information? Why isn't God delivering his message that way? The reason is, and it's important, God doesn't need the angels to deliver the message. God has you to deliver the message. It's important for us to understand. We would think that, you know, it's vital to us for our salvation to have that message delivered to not only us, to reach others. And angels could certainly do that. But God doesn't need the angels. He has an angel army. He doesn't need to use it. He has you to deliver his message. When you search Scripture and you look through the Bible for the purpose of man, it's been distilled down to 2 points. You may have heard this. Maybe you haven't. There are 2 points for the purpose of man. One is to know him. We are to know God. We are to accept Jesus into our lives as our personal saviors. And two, to make him known. It kind of distills down to that. Two things, to know him and to make him known. You'll hear that. Very common. It's easy to remember. So what does it mean to know him? Right? We have to understand who Jesus is. And, you know, as believers, we do that through studying Scripture. It's very important. Reading our Bibles, studying our Bibles, being in daily prayer, being in contact with God. If we don't believe, then, you know, getting to that point where we turn over our lives to Jesus, where we accept him as our personal Savior. So that's how we know Jesus. It's important for us to turn towards God, to put aside our sinful nature, and we have a lot of stumbling blocks that can pop up as we go through that. We may have accepted Jesus into our lives long ago, but we still have struggles. It's important to kind of keep in that constant mode of study and praying and reading our Bibles. But it's also important to make him known. We need to share God's message with the lost world, as well as strengthening our brothers and sisters in Christ. The next example I want to give is, again, from Luke 2. The shepherds heard the message, and they went and witnessed the infant Jesus. It was all exactly as the angels had told them. Now in verse 17, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." And then we follow up in verse 20. "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." We are to make him known. Here's an example of the shepherds. They had seen. The angels had given them the message. It had been confirmed. They saw it. And then they just didn't keep that for themselves. They understood what this meant. But then they went abroad to share that message that had been given to them. It can be hard. You might be thinking, what if I'm not well read? What if I'm not articulate? What if I don't know what to say? What if I make a mistake and say the wrong thing? I promise you, you will make a mistake. You will say the wrong thing. We all do. But God forgives us. God has us covered. God has sent us the Holy Spirit to help us. We have that. And if we rely on our own understanding and our own strength and powers, we're going to fall short. But we don't have to. God has given us that. And he knows that. He knows us. He knows what our strengths are, what our weaknesses are, and he's telling us to spread his message, and he will help us with that Holy Spirit. We have all the power and the knowledge we need to reach people we come in contact with. Be real with them. You don't need to make things up. Share your story. It is important to make a personal connection with people. It's great to have verses memorized, but don't let that hold you back. There's so many times like, oh, if I had that memorized, or I know that's in Scripture or something, but I don't know exactly what it is. That's fine. That's fine. Just share with somebody. Hey, I think in the Bible. And then maybe say, hey, let's look that up together. Let's study it together and find out. So don't let that hold you back. God is using you. Even if it's just planting a seed. There's so many times, you might be thinking, I share it with all these people. No one ever gets saved. It never works out. Why am I even doing this? You have no idea the ripple effect that can have. I deal with that in scouts all the time. You have no idea the impact that spending time with a youth or spending time with someone or a friend or family member, somebody who's hurting, some stranger. You might turn around their day. You don't know how God is going to use that interaction. So just planting that seed can be so important. Satan uses that. Satan puts that doubt in our minds to turn us away from doing that good work. But God is righteous and faithful and provides us the strength and power we require, and you are God's reliable messenger. Share personal experiences. Share the blessings that you know came from the Lord. People want to hear about how he's working in your life. Another critical point, this isn't going to be super popular, but nonverbal communication, right? We can say words and things like that, but what are our actions communicating, right? What are people finding out about, the way they see us living, the choices we make, the things we're doing? What is that communicating to the lost world? We need to take a closer look at all aspects of our lives and how we communicate to people. We need to hear the truth. People, both believers and non-believers, they need to hear the truth. But the way the truth is delivered matters. I'm not talking about sugarcoating God's word. We're not talking about deceit, telling people what they want to hear. You can tell people that you have hope through your belief in Jesus. But, everything isn't fine. Just because you give your life over to Jesus doesn't mean that things are easy. Things are hard. You still live in a broken world. We are still sinners. Things aren't perfect. But we have Jesus' love, and we have the hope, and we have peace and understanding of the everlasting life that we gain through the salvation that Jesus Christ gives to us through his death on the cross and covering our sins. We have the Holy Spirit to help us. This isn't about hiding the hard truth, but it's about presenting it with love and compassion. A story I have from my freshman year of college, I was very blessed to have three Christian roommates. I didn't know these guys. They were all high school buddies. I was kind of the odd man out, but they were strong Christian men. It was a wonderful experience for me. One of them got into Campus Crusade for Christ, and it was a group that he was a part of, and we would have a weekly Bible study in our dorm room, and it was led by a junior named Tom. He was a great guy, just a funny guy, great personality, great man of God. He would come and he would lead the Bible study in our room. We'd have some other people come. It was the four of us as well. And my roommates were big into sports. I was never very involved in sports. My dad wasn't. I really wasn't a big Ohio State football fan until I went there. But my roommates were big into it, big into high school things, sports. And Tom was as well. And so that was a connection that they had. And Tom used that. It was great. They had a nice connection. It was easy for them to talk about and stuff. And Tom told a story. He grew up near Canton. And he told the story of his older brother who played high school football. And the story was that he played in a game against Chris Spielman. Now, that might not mean anything to anybody. Ohio State fans know who Chris Spielman was. He's an All-American linebacker from Ohio State. Played many years in the NFL for the Lions, and I think the Browns even. Just an amazing football player. An interesting guy. So Tom told the story about how his brother got whooped the entire game by Chris Spielman. This guy's an amazing football player, and his brother just got, just beat up. So it was great. My roommates liked that story. We talk about it back and forth every once in a while. At the end of the year, we're having our last Bible study session, and Tom comes up and says that he has something to tell us, and that story about his brother playing against Chris Spielman was a lie. He made that story up to make a connection. He just thought that would be a way to connect with the group, and that it was false. It never happened, and it shattered the group. We just were, you just don't know what to, and we had so many amazing Bible studies. We'd shared a lot, and it was a great group, and we didn't need that story to bring us together. He thought, maybe in the beginning it needed to, and it ate at him the entire year. This whole year, every time we would get together, he knew that lie was out there, that he had told that lie, and he was just looking for a way to kind of, get out of it, and he just let it go. And the last meeting, he told us about that, and did that take away from the truth? God's truth was still there. We still had a lot of wonderful meetings and that, but we weren't a group. It just, we all kind of separated from that. We saw him once or twice, maybe the next year or whatever, but we didn't come back and have that group again. So that, it was kind of built on that line. It didn't need to happen. It didn't have to be that way. But it really, it was impactful for me to kind of see how that, just one little thing, just, it was insignificant, but it ruined, what was an important message. So we need to be careful with that. It's something that has, stuck with me for a long time. So what's our takeaway from this? So if we don't yet have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we need to know him. There's so many people in this room. Just reach out to somebody. Just talk. Just, ask them, what's your story? What has God done in your life? People are happy to share. If somebody came up and asked you that's amazing. Hirsch asked me that. One of the men's groups meetings. He's like, hey, Bill, what's your story? I'm all right. I'm happy to share. Glad somebody asked me, right? It's fantastic that if we can share our testimony with others. It doesn't always happen, and maybe you need to get to know somebody a little bit before you get into it. You don't want to just, sit down on a park bench and, hey, let me tell you. But if you get to know somebody or, you can work into that. But certainly, please reach out to someone to learn more about Jesus. If you've already accepted Jesus, you're already a believer. You need to deepen your relationship. You need to know him. And we need to do that every day, studying our Bibles, reading our Bibles. When I brought this up, when Pastor first mentioned that I would be doing the Christmas service, he said I would have a Christmas gift for everybody. I did take that to heart. So there are boxes. I bought way too many. There are boxes of Bibles in the back. King James Version. If you don't have a Bible, please, please, absolutely grab one. If you do have a Bible, grab two. You know, throw one in your car. Throw two or three in your car. If you run across somebody who might not have one, there's kids' versions as well. Grab some kids' versions. If you know kids, if you forgot to get a Christmas gift for somebody, it's not too late. Grab one of those, wrap it up, get them a Bible. It's free. They're back there. Grab a whole stack. But please, you know, take those home. Use them. You know, hand them out to somebody. Maybe you know, there's somebody at work or something. You know, hey, they made me take one of these at church. I just wanted to pass it on to you. Whatever story you need to give. You know, I couldn't leave the building until I took this, and so now I'm handing it to you. I hope they don't make Bill speak again, you know, all kinds of things like that. So, you know, please, you know, make use of those. Make use of those in your own life. You know, just, like I said, keep one in your car, you know, even if you have one at home. Just or keep one at work, wherever. Just feel free to take those. They'll be here. We'll have them for years. I bought a bunch, like I said. So please, you know, use that to deepen your relationship with Jesus. I know, Pastor, I'm looking forward to 2023 as we get deeper into studying God's Word. And so use that as an amazing tool to help you with your relationship with Jesus. And work hard to make him known to the lost world. It's not easy. But people need to hear your personal story. Share it with others. Making that deep personal connection is what really connects with people. Now, it's not, and pastors brought this up in the past too, you know, just because your grandma believed and you had a deep personal connection with her, that doesn't mean that, you know, that's the only avenue through that. You have to have your own deep personal connection. You have to do the work and the study. It's hard work. But that's what we need to do. So share with people your personal connection with Jesus, that they can know that as well. Do it with truth and love. One other thing about delivery, Proverbs 27:14. We just kind of went over this in our house. He that blesses his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. So, funny story, my mother-in-law, she was an early riser, 4 or 5 a.m. She'd love to get things done, had lists, crossing things off. She was traveling with my father-in-law, and they were going to go up to the Northeast to look at leaves in the fall. So she calls up a bed and breakfast, and she wants to make a reservation. It's 5 in the morning, 5:30 in the morning. She calls, like, hey, I want to make a reservation. They're like, nope. And hangs up on her because it was like so early in the morning. These people are still asleep and that. So it's just a reminder to be careful how we deliver our message. Bright and early in the morning, or, you know, just super enthusiastic, somebody who might be a little down, you know, just understand how you deliver that message to them so that it impacts them, because the Bible says it could be, you know, considered a curse. I'm not that you want to do that, but just take care of how you deliver the message. The truth about what God has done in our lives is all we need to share with others. It will awe them. It will shock them. It will bring them into their own relationship with Jesus. It might not seem as convincing or as powerful as angels, but it's exactly what God calls us to do. So that's all I have to share with you tonight. you know, I thank you so much. Hope you have a Merry Christmas, a wonderful season, a Happy New Year. Grab some eggs, grab, you know, a fistful of Bibles on your way out. I appreciate it very much. Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You can't leave until you take a Bible. That was very good. Well, thank you all so much.
Amen. All right, that's good. Thank you so much, Bill. Appreciate that.
Absolutely.